Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
So you're Noel Clark, I'm Johanna James.
This is Johanna James, yeah.
Don't know who we are, what we do. We act normally.
Yes. So Johanna James, let me just say, is an actress I've known for a lot of years. Everything in her life is down to me, essentially.
Pretty much.
We've known each other for a lot of years. We've worked together. She's in a few of our films. And now she's become a, I don't know what the right phrasing is, a YouTube...
Famous on the Tinternet.
Tinternet sensation with her thousands and thousands of subscribers and viewers to her raunchy videos that she does. She's always got her bum out and stuff like that.
Raunchy? Only once. That was only one time, though.
Only once. So that's how this show came about.
Yeah. Johanna's
wonderful.
We love film. We make films.
And this show is going to be about films and TV.
We want to talk about it. It's Back Row and Chill.
The original name I wanted for the show was Fingered in the Back Row.
Which I thought was good, but a little bit...
I bet you thought it was good, Joe.
Yeah.
That was the original name for the show, but everyone kind of outvoted me because they thought it was a bit raunchy. But Back Row and Chill means the same thing because Netflix and Chill means, like,
yeah,
you don't be inviting no one around your house on Netflix, really.
But my mum didn't know what that meant when I told her. I was like, oh, I've got a new radio show, Back Row and Chill. She's like, oh, that's a lovely name. I was like, yeah. Mum, you do know what and chill means?
No, because like, it didn't used to mean that. Even back in my day, but chill meant actually relaxing. So now I suddenly realise, man, no wonder the librarian called the police on me when I was like, yo, come show me these books in the back, we can just chill. And the next thing, I'm in handcuffs. I couldn't understand it, but now I get it.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
We have a guest in the studio.
We do.
Premier League on the first day, man. This is unbelievable. Well, please, everybody, welcome.
We have Sir Jason Mazza.
Jason Mazza.
Yo.
Woo.
How are we?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, good. I'm excited to be in your first show.
How did you get into producing? What's the trajectory of a young Mr. Mazza, a young Jason, playing with his Barbies or Transformers or whatever he had?
Definitely Barbies.
What's the trajectory of that young man to producer extraordinaire and well-respected industry man?
Well, essentially, it was me starting off as an actor and basically, you know, working and sort of getting by, but just sort of feeling like this is too much out of my own hands. And in my head, I was like, oh, well, actually, if I produce my own work, then I'm taking the control into my own sort of destiny, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that was the sort of main sort of driving force. And, you know, I felt like I could create my own work and make the work that I sort of believe in. And obviously, when I started, in my head, I was like, well, I'm an actor. I've been on loads of film sets. I must know what it takes to produce a movie. Mm-hmm. And in reality, I literally knew nothing apart from having a phone book of contacts. And yeah, and I made this first movie with another lad that's in our movie, Brotherhood, Nick Nevin. We made it for 500 quid, which sounds mental, but it was a true story. It was like a mockumentary. And we ended up selling that very small movie, this is even weirder, to Lionsgate, who's distributing Brotherhood.
So for people that don't know, when you sell a film, do you make millions of pounds? Because I'm assuming everyone thinks you're some millionaire. What's the score with that?
No, I'm very poor. You do not make loads of money. I think over here, we're driven by the passion of film and our craft. And really, you know, if you want the money, you need to be doing US stuff. And basically, even on Brotherhood, everyone got paid. But essentially, we're doing it for the love. No one's coming onto that movie for the money. It's because they believe in the film and want to be a part of that franchise.
So how do you go from £500 film? I mean, and weirdly, it is full circle if you're saying it was Lionsgate then.
Literally,
and it's Lionsgate now. Tell me about the Brotherhood thing. How did that happen? How did that come up? Bear in mind, you have to pretend this is not me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like not asking you as
well,
me.
Well, let me ask it then. How did it come about with the Brotherhood?
Yeah.
Brilliant question.
That's very good,
Hannah. Great question.
Because I have no idea. It would be interesting to hear this from Jason.
Exactly.
So essentially, there's a lot of luck that comes into play. But once I announced that to the world that I'm a producer and everyone sort of sees what you're doing over social media, it's amazing the people that gravitate towards you and just opportunities came along, you know, private financiers. And I'm still talking very low budgets to begin with. And then along that journey of me making bigger and bigger movies, I got a phone call out of the blue by this man sitting across from me, Mr. Noel Clark, and he said, yo, I've got this movie. It's a romantic comedy called The Knot. We spoke about a mentor of ours that we shared the same mentor, and he said, look, you know, I've sort of seen from afar what you've been doing. People have been mentioning you. You know, if you can help and bring something to the table, let's discuss it. So we met, I fanboyed for a bit. I met the other producer and was just lucky on that instance that I could bring something to the table, and it was like the last piece of the jigsaw, basically.
Yeah. And then fast forward to Brotherhood?
Yeah, to Brotherhood, and, you know, and then we basically merged companies by that point. We co-run Unstoppable Entertainment, you know, and then Brotherhood came around, you know, you'd written the script, and it was like, well, let's put it together.
Sorry, who wrote the... Sorry, Mr... You mean Noel Clark?
Noel Clark,
Noel wrote the script.
Noel Clark wrote the script,
Did you have to audition?
No, I didn't, because that was quite lucky, really, because it could have been that awkward moment where Noel was like, listen, mate, you know I love you. Right, no, I do, I love you. We're family, but... you know, it's a great part. It's a really good part, and I just don't want you to fuck it up.
That would have been funny. Had Noel had done that, would have been a bit out of order.
Well, I had to audition. I auditioned.
Let's not talk about your audition.
I was quite lucky, really, that I didn't have to, because I probably would have, I might have messed it up, been nervous in front of him.
Were you nervous about playing a bad guy? Because you play the proper bad guy in this film.
I was nervous about the role, just because it was such a well-written part, and everyone who read the script was like, this guy's brilliant. So was very nervous about doing that. And obviously, it's a weird thing when you're working with friends. It almost heightens the sort
like
of pressure.
Like another level pressure. Yeah, it's like, because can't let mate down.
Yeah, I can't let Noel down. You know, he's given me this part. He's given me the dream role.
Yeah.
Don't mess it up, Mazza. Don't mess it up.
Well, I spoke to Mr. Clark earlier. He said you were brilliant in the film.
He's always doing that. He's so sweet.
Was he easy to work with?
Was he easy to work with? God, he was a nightmare.
God, he was absolutely mental.
I've heard that about him as well.
Swearing and kicking off.
It was just, you know, and he'd just come up to you with notes like, Chase, can I have a word? Do it better.
Just more. Give me more, but a bit less.
Yeah.
That was my note.
Yeah, you know them notes that just are not very decisive, which ironically is a complete lie because he's the most decisive person you ever meet. He knows exactly what he wants. And to be honest, I think all of the actors appreciated working with you, mate, because it was just, you know, you come from the acting background, you understand other actors, and also it's just really nice to have someone who knows what they want and be like, look,
it
I love him.
It's funny sometimes when he will be at a meeting or something and he'll go, listen, now I've got four options for you, and I'll go that one. Before he's even finished the sentence. And he'd be like, yeah, but no, that one. I'm sure. And he'd
done.
Be like, okay.
Done.
I prepared a whole speech. I said, no, this is the one. Let's do that. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, great. No, mate, it was a pleasure, obviously, to work with you as well. And we've been doing it for many, many years now. People don't know if they don't know in many years to come.
Yeah.
Hopefully, touch wood.
Well, we met Noel about the same time because I met him around the Knot.
Yes.
I worked on one of your films.
No, you met me before the Knot, my dear.
No.
Stories 24.
Oh, was that the right order?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Story 24.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because I came on, like, I did a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff, that's the day that I met you.
There you go.
I was filming behind-the-scenes stuff, and you were filming some sort of, like, you were recording a voiceover or a little snippet of something, and I talked over your take, and you got really angry, and you're like, who is in the room?
Yeah.
Can you please be quiet?
Sounds like something that both of you guys would do.
Did I do that? Was that the genuine story?
Genuine story.
News just in, Jason Mazza, shouting diva.
The first time you ever met me is because I massively fucked up your take, which is bad for me because it should have been silence on set and it was bad for me.
Terrible. And then you shouted.
So I had my very own Christian Bale moment from
Fine. Let's see if we can find the footage of that. Let's go. Someone find the rushes for me and let's see if we can find the footage.
There will be. There'll be a bit. I mean, you
of Jason Mazza.
You just
his
you were like, can we have
moment.
Quiet, please? And I remember being like, oh, I have not made friends.
This is not a way to introduce myself.
I know. And the first time I ever met you, Noel, funny story, it was on your film, Storage 24. Horror film, and I was working on it, and I went to go and introduce myself. Went, oh, that's Noel Cole, that's Sam from Brotherhood. I mean, Kidderhood. Yeah. And then I went over to introduce myself because you were, and I said, hi, you were talking at me, and I was just like, yes, and I'm trying to have this weird one-way conversation with you, and then you turned around, you were on the phone.
Ah.
You didn't even see me. I was just talking to the back of your head.
Great.
And you were on the phone. And then I just walked off. I just walked straight off.
That's quality.
Decided to introduce myself a bit later.
That's hilarious.
These awkward situations.
Yeah. And I'm just like, that's such an honour to meet you, sir. I'm so happy.
Yeah, not bad, actually. Yeah. The thing that I was talking about.
You're like, I've just met you. Yeah.
That's jokes.
That's funny. That is funny.
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Hey guys, I'm here today with a very special guest. It's Michael Landeth in the building, everybody. I actually don't have an applause thing, so I'll just do it myself.
That's good. Thank you very much.
That was a bit lame, actually.
It's Johanna.
So, busy time for you. You are American, but you're currently in London, England. How are you finding?
I was going to do a bad English accent. No, I'm not.
Oh, can you do an English accent?
I can do the woman at the airport at the magazine that goes, cashier number 5, please.
Are you acquainted with England? Like, do you know?
Yeah, I've come here quite a bit.
Yeah.
My wife's dad is Scottish. I did a couple of series here. I did a series here. I did a play. Occasionally, you guys invite me over, and I love it. Mm-hmm. This show was made for Sky, but we literally filmed Hooten and the Lady all over the world.
Yeah, I've just been checking out the trailers and stuff. For me, it reminded me a little bit of, like, the sort of Indiana little homage to the sort of 80s.
It's just a big, fun
action adventure.
It's got humor, and we literally did film all over the world. We were in Russia, we were in Cambodia, we went to Rome, Africa, Namibia.
Which is your favorite country?
We ended in Cambodia, which I didn't anticipate myself going there. So to watch the sunrise at Angkor Wat is kind of awesome. But I'm half Italian, or my grandfather was, so I loved Italy. We started in Rome. We were in Russia in the dead of winter, and I got to bring my kids to Moscow. We're one of the only shows that's ever filmed in the metro system in Moscow, which is cool.
People might remember you because you were back in the day. You were on Superman, weren't you? The New Adventures of Superman.
I was. I was on a superhero show when it wasn't when it wasn't cool to be on a fucking superhero show.
But for me, that is the only like Superman series that I register as real. Like that was my childhood. I love that show so much. I wanted to be Terry Hatcher.
You did.
Yeah. It's dangerous when you're a kid and watching that show because you're like, I'll just jump out a window. I can fly.
I'll do it.
I want to be a reporter. That didn't happen either. But you do a very good English accent. That was very good. I want to do a little challenge with you.
Are you going
to
do an American accent?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, you can. Let me hear. What did you say? Do you want me to? Do you want to go for a yogurt?
Okay, well, give me something to say and I'll try and do it in American.
I'll tell you a word that everyone always says, like it's tomato, tomato. You know what the word that we don't do it together?
What?
The same? Yogurt. You say yogurt.
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 Why do you say yogurt?
I just say yogurt. But you go to Valley Girl. Is that what you can? Can you do a Valley?
Like LA? Like California? Like totally like that? Yeah. I spent a little time in LA last year, so kind of thought that one
That's
out.
Great. That's very good.
But English, let's go back to English because I'm a Londoner. I'm from South London.
From South London.
I am from Broccoli.
How
do you know Broccoli?
Shut the front door. I know Broccoli because I did a show here when we filmed in Broccoli. I've laughed.
I'm from Broccoli.
There like an old dance hall there or some old...
Yeah, the Rivoli Ballroom.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're like old schoolmates. Yeah, I grew up in Broccoli in South London.
So you were trying to test my London knowledge.
I want to test your London slang. So if I'm going to throw you some slang words, I want to see if you can translate what you think that they might mean. So,
minge. Sorry.
Do you know what that is?
You know what? I love that in, what was it, The Inbetweeners? That kid with, like, the clunge mags and... Sorry, I'm being naughty.
No, minge is one of, like, my favourite words.
Give me a word.
Okay, what about peak?
Peak.
Yeah, what do you think peak means?
Like, we've peaked, it's... I don't know.
It's an uncomfortable situation.
Peak.
So like, this is peak.
This is peak.
Oh. You can bring these back to America and you can teach everyone.
Maybe not.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Yard.
Yard. Well, a yard in America is like money. What do we call a yard? It's like $1,000 or something, right? Or a 100,000? A yard? A couple of yards?
Well, yard here is your home. Your yard.
Your yard.
This is my
your
yard.
Crib. Your yard. You're hitting me with some young good.
Yeah, this is like the current.
I threw minge.
Okay, what about if something's dead?
No, if something's dead, it's dead. It's not happening. It's not going on. Nothing's happening
yeah,
right
no,
now.
Yeah, it's poor quality.
Poor quality. This is dead.
This is like, you know, yeah, sorry, mate, your jacket's dead.
Wow, give me some more. Shit.
What's whip?
Your ride. Your whip. Your car, right?
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's the same one. Okay, cool. What about fam? What is a fam?
Your family? No. Your friends?
It's a close friend.
Your close friends, my fam.
Final one. What does peng mean? P-E-N-G. Peng.
What we call peng is if you have a moment that you go, fuck, I shouldn't have said, there's like a pang in your stomach or like a pang.
No, it's if it's nice looking. So if you see like a really hot girl, be like, oh, she's peng.
She's peng. But explain that. You just made that up. Why?
I did not make that up.
Why is the good-looking girl peng?
100.
What makes her peng?
I don't know. What, these kids on the street, they just, like, twist words.
Look at her.
Stuff.
She's peng. Or she's paying for dinner.
Paying.
That's how we would say
she's
peng.
She's so peng, I'm paying.
She's peng. Fuck.
Yeah, no, okay. Well done.
Those
did
are
well.
Very... I didn't do well at all. I did extremely...
Well, I was so impressed that you knew minge. That's amazing.
That's a bit naughty.
That's amazing. There's
what
an actress in Hollywood who got minge tattooed on her foot.
Did she? She maybe didn't know well.
She didn't quite. It was Amanda Seyfried. And she said she was on set with Colin Firth and he kept saying minge. She kept swearing, minge. And so she loved it so much she got it on her foot. And then now she does red carpets and there's minge on her foot.
There's minge on her foot.
Well, we have a lot of swear words over here that maybe don't translate. We say bugger a lot. Like, oh,
bugger, like, oh, bugger. Oh, bugger. That's like a Hugh Grant movie as well.
Oh, yeah, he says it a lot. Yeah.
You say bollocks.
Oh, bollocks.
You say the C word a lot. The C word in England seems very normal and it's less offensive, but in America people get offended by
it. No, it's still pretty offensive here.
Is it?
Yeah, not really used much on TV or anything. But go down a pub, it's everywhere.
If they don't even say it, they go, you fucking cunt.
Just whisper it.
What about mingin? You guys, that's an mingin. Irish thing.
Yeah? Oh, that's
right?
So mingin, yeah.
I'm from New York City, so if you're not in like a posh, you know, thing,
little
I think
area.
You come up with your own little... slang or isms.
I invent words sometimes. I said ferocious once, and I meant like horrendously ferocious, and it just came out as ferocious.
But ferocious is a good word.
So I kept that. I was like, oh, it's just ferocious, that situation. It's like Shakespeare. He made up words all the time.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
I'm Johanna James, and I'm here with
Lydia.
And
Natalia.
Just so we can explain to all my listeners on the radio show, you're a member of Pussy Riot, yep. And you're a founding member of the Belarus Free Theatre.
Pussy Riot, it's much more easier to pronounce than Belarus Free Theatre.
Yeah. Yeah, in England, people know the word pussy more. I had heard of Pussy Riot before, like in the news. It was on my kind of circle of knowledge, but I didn't understand what they were until I properly Googled it and like looked you up, because I thought, like many other people, that you were a band, which is not true. So we want to make sure that everybody understands what Pussy Riot is, and it's not a band.
It's a punk collective, actually.
Yeah, collective.
Which is doing political art. The story is very easy. When President Putin decided to go third time to president's chair, yeah, we start our, let's say, activities in Russia after one of them, which was in the so-called cathedral in Moscow. We were put into prison for 2 years, yes, two of us, me and Nadia. And after that, we were released and we started Human Rights Project. And now we're helping other prisoners succeed several times. And also, we are doing art projects. For me, it's a chance to firstly show the very inside of my prison experience.
Yeah, so 2 years you were inside for standing up for yourself.
Yes, but also to reflect and to show some parts of my story which I think most problematic. One of the goals is to show what can happen if you're doing political art, and one of goals is free Oleg Sentsov, who actually had just like, think, 20 years of prison for nothing. 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
In Russian prison means death, actually. He's now in the middle of Siberia, in the mostly total isolation.
He's still there?
Yes, he's okay. There.
My radio show is all about entertainment and movies and TV show and Netflix. And we were asking,
Netflix.
Yeah, and I read up about you and said, you were on a Netflix show.
Yes, I was.
Well, what show were you on?
Cars of Cars. It's
That's a huge American Netflix show. And you were, yes, playing yourself in the show?
Yes, we were us as Pussy Riot.
That's really cool, though. So do you watch Netflix?
I watched House of Cards.
Do you have a favorite movie?
I'm really like to watch movies, but I like classics. I like Odyssey 2001.
Oh, yeah. Kubrick's. Space Odyssey 2001. Mm-hmm. Cool. Sci-fi girl.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
We've got Maud Hurst in the studio. Thank you for joining us.
I'm really good. How are you guys?
Very good. I'm good.
We're,
yeah,
Maud. For all our listeners, just to explain who you are and what you do, you're an actress and you are on The Vikings. The TV show, which is quite exciting. I love that time period in history.
I should have listened more in history, but I do actually like the Viking era. My brain was all over the place in school.
What we read in the history books is really quite different from the show. So even if you had read up on it, you can still learn something else by watching it.
Thank you very much.
How did you get involved with The Vikings?
So it's been like 4.5 years, I think, since I auditioned. And I'd just been travelling around Thailand and I came back to London terrified that I wasn't working. And I was like, And my agent was like, got this really cool show, do you want to audition? And I was like, sure, great. So I went in, met the director, and it was a really last minute casting. And I think within like 3 or 4 weeks, I was told, and then flew to Ireland and started filming.
That is scary, the actor's fear, I call it. You know, like after university, for me, I just want to go and act, and you get this fear where you just don't know, audition-wise or work-wise.
Yeah, I hate it. The first time you get to set, normally the first thing people go, hi, so what are you doing next? And you're like, I'm just really excited about this job,
actually. You focus your mind on the day.
Day to day.
That's so true.
Well, okay, I've got something to admit. I've never been on I have been on a Viking-themed TV show. But when I was a teenager, I used to do something really, really, really geeky, and I used to do medieval reenactment.
Did you now?
It's like, you're weird. Don't laugh at me, Joe.
I was laughing at a joke I've written down for later.
Okay.
About you being medieval.
No, honestly, I used to be such a geek. I used to spend majority of my weekends going all over the country, and we'd put on this show. You know, you go to castles or historical fairs or whatever.
I didn't know this existed.
For example, in Nottingham every year, they've got the Robin Hood Festival. And then hundreds and hundreds of medieval reenactors go.
I have
go.
Heard of these. Yeah.
And I played Maid Marian in the.
Oh, well done. Congratulations.
It was the role of my career. They specialised in Viking up to Robin Hood. So I spent most of my teenage years running around being a fair maiden.
So you're a fellow Viking?
Fellow Viking.
Hey.
Yeah.
Were you a fighter?
I was. Yeah. I learnt to use a broadsword.
I wish I was. Helga was not. She's a lover, not a fighter.
Oh, they don't really fight.
I don't fight. I don't ride horseback. No. But missed all the fun things, but I didn't get muddy.
Viking women were actually quite independent if you look at women in history,
yeah.
in the last sort of 1,000 years or whatever, you could divorce the men, which was like a power to a Viking woman. Like if your Viking man got home and drunk and was like, whatever, you could be like, that's it, I divorce you, fuck it.
My Viking man is home.
Yeah, they were really progressive, weren't they? Right. It was, yeah, it was crazy. And I think it regressed a lot in different other parts of history. But Vikings, yeah, the women were fierce. And some of them were actual like warriors.
The pagan women were like, whoosh. And they had these huge ladles. It was like completely legal to beat your husband up with a ladle.
Yeah,
with
a ladle? Isn't that what you get soup
out of? Big iron ladle, yeah. You could, so you didn't want to be late. You would not want to piss off your
woman.
Didn't
want to be late in the ladled.
We should have reacted that today. We should have done a reenactment.
We should have done that.
We should have.
So what was your favourite part about playing your character in the Vikings?
I think working with Gustav, who plays Floki, my husband, in the show, he's amazing. So it was kind of like a masterclass every day being on set. He's acted since he was about 5, so his whole life has been immersed. So that was brilliant. But also just being on the sets is so epic, in the middle of Wicklow Mountains in Ireland.
Yeah, that must be so cool.
It was amazing. And like on my wedding day, I think probably my favourite scene that I filmed, but they hadn't told us how we were going to get married. And we turned up in this lake and they'd built a boat of flowers, and they were like, so you're just going to enter in on this? I was like, what?
Oh my Lord, that's
beautiful.
It's great, but it kind of stuffs up your real life wedding, because you're like, I never got the boat and the flowers.
Never going to beat that.
It looked really pretty on TV. That's super cool. And so do you get, because obviously your face has been out and about, because you were in the Tudors as well, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I love that TV show. Anything historical with a corset and a bit of sex, I'm like, I'm in there.
You've got your sword and you're ready to watch.
I'm ready at home, just ready. And then your face has been out and about quite a lot. Do you get recognised around?
I look really different to Helga. They completely got rid of my eyebrows, and so it changes your face a lot.
Why did they take your eyebrows off?
I think they were kind of going Scandinavian, everyone
thing.
Really blonde. Yeah, they wanted to give it a look, the show, to kind of have a different feel. And dark eyebrows are in right now, so they wanted to make it completely different, I guess. But it's not a good look, and I really would never try it.
Eyebrowless.
It's not good.
You'd look like a weird, like an egg, wouldn't you?
Literally like an egg, yeah. One of my friends is like, you look like an alien, I can't see if you're angry, like happy, sad, yeah.
But a sexy alien, you're a sexy alien.
Thanks, thank you. But so yeah, in a group, when all the Vikings are together, we do get recognised, but very rarely in London do I get it, which is a nice thing, actually.
Yeah, you can go incognito to wherever you want to go.
I know, drunken nights out are good. Nobody knows.
Until someone covers your eyebrows up, it's you!
There you are! What was your sort of favourite thing that happened behind the scenes?
Travis, who plays the lead guy, Ragnar, he is like a complete joker all the time. He's always misbehaving. And one day, one of the other actors used to drive himself to set every day, and he parked his car. And Travis just went missing for ages. No one knew where he was. And eventually, at the end of the day, we realised what he'd done. We opened Bob's car, and about 50 chickens just jumped out. And he'd like filled. Yeah, his whole car was just covered in chicken poo. And he just filled this whole car. Yeah. That was Travis.
That's a different level.
Oh, you know, just sometimes you read someone else's lines. I'm a bit of a laugh. No, he fills a car with chicken and chicken poo.
Yeah.
That's like a pretty medieval joke, isn't it? It's like, I'll get you chickens. Put you chickens in, you can't.
And it's also educational.
There you go.
Oh, lovely. Prank me again. Thanks, yeah.
Wow. Does anything ever go wrong?
Yeah, for me, the thing that always goes wrong is I get the giggles. I can't. And once you go, and
that's
you really
the worst
can't go.
Thing on
and
set. Giggles on set.
In a death scene.
Well, that's the other thing. One of the other actors that died, everyone was really emotional on the day that they died. And he was supposed to be dead, and he couldn't stop crying. He was like actually weeping while he was dead. I was like, you can't. You can't cry while you're at court. Not desirable, that. But yeah, lots of things go wrong because it's so huge. In the battle sequences, there's normally like 300 or 400 extras. So things are definitely going to go wrong when people are like flying around with weapons and stuff. Yeah. There's lots of injuries and people falling off horses. Yeah.
Oh, medic!
Cool. Yeah.
Some of the extras are probably medics, just ready, close, ready to go.
Medic/extra. Mm. They're just like multifunctional on
with
set
no
now.
Eyebrows. It's a Viking thing.
I have been tempted to bleach my... You remember that...
Don't.
What were you just about to say?
I've been tempted to bleach my eyebrows, I have, because I saw that dragon tattoo film. The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
And Rooney Mara had no eyebrows, and I was like, she's the sexiest thing ever. But then I realised that I would not look like Rooney Mara.
I just don't recommend doing it. It's just not good. It's not good for the ego.
Did you have to dye them back again?
Yes, straight away. In fact, even sometimes after the end of the day, I just say to my makeup artist, like, please just draw them on for tonight. Can't go home to the mirror. I can't do it.
I just want to sleep in my own eyebrows.
I understand when girls dye their hair, but dyeing your eyebrows, is that the same?
Some people dye their pubes.
Okie dokie. Anyway, back to the eyebrows.
They do.
They fall off?
They dye everything. No.
No, and they grow really quickly. Who knew?
Really?
Yeah, eyebrows grow like my...
Oh, I got, like my pubes.
Oh, no, talking about pubes anymore.
I was like, my pubes do go really quickly, yeah. TMI.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Nick Nevin, welcome to the studio.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you? I think I should have a little... Nick Nevin's in the building!
Yes,
welcome.
Yes, now bow before me.
You peasant.
Yeah, go on, we'll go with that one.
We should probably warn the audience that Nick is hanging today.
He's hanging. Fucker, mate. Yes,
so
I'm hanging.
I'm going to mess with your mind, throw you some real hard words into your questions.
Don't. Obviously, we arranged this last week or whatever, and I'm not going to lie to you, babe, I fucking forgot.
You forgot.
I forgot. And then I see the tweet this morning, and I was like, no.
Oh, crap.
Oh, God.
I got to perform. But it's showbiz, baby.
It's showbiz.
You're used to this. This is what you work in. You are an actor director, or is it a director actor?
No, actor director. Actor first, I reckon. Actor first, director second.
Director second.
That rhymes.
I reckon.
I reckon. Actor first, director second.
Mate, to start off, I'll just get a beat. Let's spit it out.
Just do it, man.
So when did you start acting?
Fuck.
Millennia ago.
Yes. Long time ago. Ages ago, I guess I got into it as a kid. I used to go to these like little drama classes in my church. At one point, I was a good Catholic boy.
Okay.
Not doing anything with priests. I'm just saying I was a good Catholic boy. Yeah, like, what the fuck? Where's this gone already, innit?
So you did the nativity.
Yeah, I did
the,
exactly.
We all did the nativity.
No, I did West Side Story. I did Bugsy Malone.
Who did you play?
In West Side Story, I played Riff. Bugsy Malone, I played...
Were you a boxer?
No. He was one of Dandy Dan's gang. It was like, it was shit. It was just a
You're
shit
still
part.
Dandy Dan's gang now, aren't you?
Dandy Dan's hang. Definitely. And then I kind of obviously went off the rails a little bit, did some other stuff. And then I ended up in drama school and I did it properly, you know. So.
You sound like you just woke up in drama school. Like,
pretty much. Like, I remember my mum was saying, look, if you're in trouble one more time, like, that's it. I'm disowning you. You got to go and do something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And there was this drama school literally around the corner from me. I walked in there, and you got to remember, them times I was like 18. I thought I was proper badass, yeah. And I walked in there, and I was like, wait, how do I get into your drama school, innit? Like, they were like, who the fuck are you, mate? Like, and I was like, and they were like, yeah, come back with a Shakespeare play and a modern play, right, for your audition. I was like, oh, that's sweet. And that day, I went out, I stole the complete works of Shakespeare, yeah? I proper ballsed it, yeah? Ballsed the complete works of Shakespeare like that. The thing was like that thick, yeah?
Folios.
Do you know what I mean? You could kill someone with that, yeah? And then, I learned it all on my own. Anyway, I went there, ended up getting a place at drama school, and it ended up being Lambda. Like one of the most prestigious drama schools in the world.
I
didn't even know what it was. Like literally all I went there for was to like meet pretty girls with daddy issues as all like all actresses. Like, aww. Yeah. And just get pissed. And that was it.
And it worked out. On TV and all sorts of
stuff. I ended up on TV. Yeah, Cry Watch for that fucking for that Shakespeare.
A regular on Cry Watch. Yeah. Recently you were in Brotherhood.
I was, yeah, with you.
With myself, yeah. We were even in the same freaking scene.
We were in the same scene. What a glorious scene that was.
What an amazing scene.
I still cry every time I see it.
I think it should be nominated.
Do you reckon?
Definitely.
Just that one scene?
Just the one hospital scene. I think it should go
To be honest, that's why the box office is so high.
I think so.
Oh, I agree.
I think it was us. You play a detective.
Yeah, Detective Parkinson. What a lot of people may not know is that he was actually... Sorry, I'm moving around because it's the only way I can stop myself from being sick. So, Detective Parkinson, a lot of people don't know that he was actually in adulthood for one scene again. Like, it was my one scene cameo, but he was a PC, me and David Ajala, who I went to drama school with as well.
Oh, you guys were proper buddies before.
Yeah. Old school. Mm-hmm. Big up, David. And then we were in adulthood for that one kind of one scene bit. And then Noel obviously
liked it and wanted
us to come back, you know? I've got a bone to pick with Noel, actually. Where is Noel? Because someone recalled at the premiere, when he was going down the line.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't realise this because I was there and it was all kind of happening so quickly. But someone filmed it, right? And then I played it back and he goes, so this is blah, 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 blah. This is Nick Nevin. No one likes him. Like, I was like, what? Like, I don't remember him saying that. He's like, no one likes him, but I put him in the film anyway. I swear he said that. Like, I was like, what? Did he fucking say that? Like, I had to see that on someone. Someone just showed that to me. But,
on the social, yeah, because Noel, it was very nice. He introduced the entire cast at the premiere and sort of did a little bit about us. I think all the producers at the time were like, what are you doing? Let's play the movie. But Noel was like, well, I want to make sure everyone. But that's a bit, all right, well, you have to come back on the show and we'll have to get him back at some point.
Oh, 100%. No, yeah. I'm just, should we just prank call him? Should we just call him? Like, call him now.
Noel pranked me the other day, so I need to prank him back. So I'm still thinking about, so maybe you could.
We'll get something. We'll get something going. Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and
Johanna James on FUBAR Radio. We're joined by David, and I said the name wrong before, didn't I?
Well, I corrected her.
What did you say?
Ajao.
My man.
That's right.
You know.
My name. I said Ajao.
Nah, you know, I got a friend that calls me Ajao. She's the only one that can do it, though. Oh, I'm sorry.
Ajao?
Ajao.
Ajao.
That's the one.
Nice. Yes. So, for everyone who's listening, you are an actor.
I am indeed. Yes.
Like all of us here.
Yes. And trying.
You're in a BBC Three.
Yeah. Show. Well, BBC Three and BBC One. You know, you have to put that in there.
Oh, really?
By law. Yeah. By law.
Three in one.
When you say BBC Three, a lot of people come through and they're like, oh, yeah, but that's on Leno. But it's on BBC One.
It's
as
the
well.
Fake BBC. Yeah. We're going to be talking about some unusual film facts that I've been researching this week.
Let's get it.
Let's do it. So, okay. One of my favourite films ever, Jurassic Park, the original.
Yes.
Yeah. The sound of the velociraptors in the kitchen scene was actually the sound of tortoises mating.
I knew that.
So when,
no, I didn't.
When velociraptors, they communicate with that, like, it's actually tortoises having sex.
That's going to ruin that film for me.
I know.
I'm going to watch that scene and be like,
that's just tortoises boning, man. Come on. You ain't scared nobody. I know what Ninja Turtles sound like.
Fact number two, the scene in Pulp Fiction where Vincent stabs Mia in the heart was shot in reverse. He actually pulled the needle out of her chest. And then they filmed it, so it went back in.
Why would they do that?
Because I think it was too dangerous to actually stab someone,
with
a fake needle.
Makes sense. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So they reverse shot it, so it
was pretty intense,
In The Hangover, Ed was actually missing a tooth. That, you know, when he knocks his teeth out?
Yeah, I believe that.
The actor, he had a false implant. He got it removed for the film and then put back in again. So
that is dedication.
Oh, wow. I know,
so you reckon that they knew beforehand that he had a fake thing and then wrote that little...
And that's why
maybe they wrote it in. Or they wrote it in and he was like, wait, guys. Committed. The movie Scream was based somewhat on a real-life 90s Florida murder spree.
I knew that.
Did you know that?
No. That's dope, though.
You don't know nothing.
I don't know nothing.
The movie, The Titanic, cost more to make than the actual Titanic cost to make.
Wow.
It was $200 million to make the movie, and with inflation, about $125 million to make the boat. So the movie cost more than the Titanic.
Wow.
That is intense.
And it made more.
It made so much.
It probably made more money, to be fair.
You could make three Titanics with that one film.
Spielberg nicknamed the mechanical shark in Jaws Bruce.
Do you have the reason to that?
It looked like a Bruce.
I think Spielberg.
I thought he looked a bit more like a Barry Bruce. Personally.
I don't know,
but
he was a bit Brucey to me.
He's very Bruce. But then, in Finding Nemo, years and years later, in honor to the original Bruce, they called the shark Bruce.
That is amazing.
Fish are friends, not food. The producers tried to give Harry Potter green eyes, but Daniel Radcliffe's eyes were so allergic to the contacts, they had to scrap that idea.
Were they green in the book?
Green in the book, and he has blue eyes, so they were trying to keep to the book, but they couldn't do the contacts, so they were like, fuck it. Hermione, they were going to fit her with false teeth, but Emma Watson couldn't talk properly with them in, so again, they fucked that as well.
What, like buck teeth?
Yeah, because in the book she got buck teeth. So.
Oh, right.
You reckon that there were some nerds that fully watched that film? Like,
this isn't Harry. Right. His eyes are blue.
No. Her teeth should be more buck than
they're
that.
They're not
that
buck terrible. Enough.
No.
No, Daddy, it's not the real Harry Potter. I don't like it.
Disney was originally called Delisney, like D'LSI, Delisney. It was like French because of his French ancestry.
Delisney.
And people were like, people are not going to say, I'm going to go to Delisney World. So they were like, call it Disney and we're fine.
Delisney. Also, they just moved the apostrophe over.
They got rid of the apostrophe and they chucked out the random L and they were like, Disney.
Nice.
That works though.
Delisney.
No, that's good.
Oh, here's a weird, creepy fact. The voice of Lilo from Lilo and Stitch is the same girl who was in The Ring.
No.
Yeah.
Swear.
She's called. She's called Dara Chase, I think, and she's the same girl plays Lilo and the girl from the room.
That is crazy.
It's fucked up.
She's terrifying in the room.
So scary. So scary.
And so like
she's so harmless in Lilo's head.
Early Disney films are pretty much a mother-free zone due to the fact that Disney's own mum died around that time.
Okay.
So in
that's
like,
why my childhood was filled with so much death when I watched TV because his mum died.
Do you know how it's she true, died? Though. How she died?
No.
So he bought her a brand new house off the back of Disney making money.
Yeah.
She died of carbon monoxide poisoning from a faulty gas works at his new house.
Oh, no.
So I think he must have felt... So then he banned mothers from the early films. So in all the films, like, the mother's not there, or in Bambi, she dies. Yeah. So, like, he makes them mother-free zones.
That's kind of cold-blooded.
That's real cold, man.
No, everyone's mother's
going to die. If I can't have one... No, that's dark, sorry. So no, cold. I was going to go so... Okay.
Don't you even dare. I know you.
The main street of Disneyland is set in 1910 America, which is why it goes all old school. And then Tomorrowland was set in 1986. Because the park opened in the 50s and they thought, whoa, in the future, in 1986, it's going to be, like, crazy.
Flying cars and shit.
So now, Tomorrowland's set in 1986, which is, like, Yesterland for us. So think bigger. Think bigger. They
did you watch that film?
No.
Yeah. I saw it, yeah. It was a bit, I don't know. You're not missing enough. I mean, you know what? If the director hears this, cast me in something. But I didn't enjoy the film.
I think there should have been a young black dude from London. Peckham, to be exact.
Did you know that it would take 68 years to sleep in every room in the hotels in Disneyland?
Wow. 68 years.
68 years. So you could probably, if you could afford it, and stay in every different room in all of the parks in Disneyland, because it's the size of San Francisco, the whole Disney resort.
That's insane.
I want to do it. I want to try it. But have naps in each room. Like little naps going around. Just
power
nap. Yeah, 5 minutes sleep.
Beat the world record.
And finally, in 1967, on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, when it opened in Disney World, the skeletons looked so rubbish, the plastic skeletons, that they went and they got real-life dead people skeletons from the medical centre, because they were getting rid of them after the medical experiments. So Disney World, the ride was full of real dead people.
Disney's messed up. These facts are just showing me.
Disney's dark.
They should boycott Disney unless they cast us and stuff. But boycott.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I'll always be up for doing the
Pirates. Real skeletons, though. That's fucked, man. You could get shut down for that shit, no? I mean.
But I do love Disney World. So that was my unusual movie facts of the week. Let's plug what you're doing at the moment.
So Sunny D is out now on BBC Three. So it's
and BBC
it's
One.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get to that.
I'll
practice this spiel. Okay. Don't mess up.
No,
okay. Just because we're friends, don't we?
Don't mess up a spiel. Okay,
so,
go on.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. It's a great show. I mean, I play the best friend to the lead, Dame Baptiste, who's an awesome comedian. So it's a wicked show. And I'm in every episode. And you can tweet me and say how cool I am and funny. In real life, I look much hotter than I do in the show. So. You know, they put some grizzle on my face. And
that's the best way around, because you don't want it to be the other way around when people are like, oh my God, he's so hot. Oh,
that's what real life looks like.
I had that with like Tinder dates and stuff, where they were like, you know, they saw my picture, and then when they met me in real life, they were like, oh, you're actually really, really handsome in real life. I was like, so what does that mean for the photo? One time I put my headshot up there, and I was like, oh, but that's how I get my money. So if this ain't working, then I don't know what's happening.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
From America, it's Brian Tyree Henry, who plays Paperboy on the new FX show Atlanta. So let's see if this works.
I'm loving it.
Brian, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can. Perfectly. Thank
you. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
No problem at all.
We were just telling all the listeners that you play Paperboy on the new show Atlanta. We're on episode 3 over here in England.
Oh, good, man. You guys got a lot to catch up on.
We can't wait.
That's good. That's great. How are you liking it so far?
I'm loving it. Like, I'm loving it. Like, for me, sitting down, watching a show, you know, you didn't really know what to expect. Because, obviously, I mean, I don't know if you know, I create as well, and I write and I direct and make movies and stuff like that. And, you know, when someone's doing it abroad that you admire, you kind of want, you know, I hope this is going to be good. I hope this is going to be good. And it's so good. And you guys are doing such a great job. How is it being received over in America?
Oh, it's received unlike anything I've ever seen before, honestly. I mean, the fans and people... they want this, you know, they really crave it, and we're happy that everyone is receiving it.
Yeah.
And for anyone who hasn't picked up on the show yet over here, if you could explain a little bit about your character Paperboy, who's one of the rappers?
Yeah, well, Paperboy is really known as Alfred, and I play the cousin to Ernst, who is played by Donald Glover.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin is a little down and out. He drops out of college and moves back to Atlanta, where we're from, and he hears that I'm an underground rap sensation and decides he wants to become my manager, and hilarity and all kinds of craziness ensue with us trying to get fame and notoriety and paper,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, it's just about us trying to make it.
So the track, the main track, because obviously Donald is also the rapper himself, Childish Gambino, was that track one of his tracks, or was that specifically made for the show by you and Donald?
That track was specifically made for the show, and actually that's not me rapping in the song. That's his brother, Stephen Glover, who's rapping.
Okay.
I'm trying to be as cool as them, you know? Like, yeah. I fake it till I make it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But they produced it and arranged it and everything. Came out kind of fire, I think.
You know, it's great. So listen, speaking of trying to be as cool as Mr. Glover, so I have a love-hate relationship with Donald Glover. I have a love-hate relationship.
Oh,
no. So I've never met Donald, and I consider him a genius. So my love-hate relationship is this. You know, I act and I write and I direct and I make movies and stuff like that. So my love with Donald is when I see him doing this stuff as well, I go, this guy is brilliant, and I love Donald Glover and everything. And then I go in for auditions and stuff like that, and then 2 months later I see the job's gone to Donald Glover, and I'm like, this motherfucker, if I ever see this guy, I'm gonna wring his neck. And then I come home and Atlanta's on, I'm like, this show's so great. And then I go for another audition. What is it like working with the genius that is Donald Glover, essentially, is the question.
Okay, I can go into that. He's great, man. Like, instantly when I auditioned for it, he was in the room, and it was like sitting next to a buddy that I've known for years. You know what I mean? We played and we ad-libbed and we joked around, and it was just instant, man. And he is a genius. I think that's the best word to describe him. You know, he's really, really aware of what's going on in the world and how to relate to people in the world. And he done really well assembling this team of just coming together and telling the story of these people and this town. He's just great, man. Like, he's really like a brother to me. I really love him. So
great. Well,
I hope that changes your bipolar love affair.
No, man, it's all love, man. I genuinely think he's amazing because, you know, over here, like I said, I do the same sort of thing. So, I get it, and I see how hard he's working and stuff. It's just I want to get some of them damn roles too. That's all I'm saying, you know?
Hey, man, we got a second season, man. That's room for everybody. We got a second season, you know?
Yeah, great.
Brian, how did you get involved with the show initially? Was it like full audition process or...?
Well, it started because I bribed everyone in the city. My manager saw the project, called Atlanta. I went to college in Atlanta at Morehouse College, and she was like, you know, I really feel like this show is something that'll really stick to you. And I opened it, and I read the first 5 pages, and I saw Alfred, and I was like, done. This is it.
Yeah,
gotta be it. Like, I gotta do this. Kind of just came to me, and I went for it, man. I was like, if I'm gonna be in a show called Atlanta with Donald Glover, I gotta kick this ass. I gotta do this.
Great.
I'm glad it worked out that way.
No, it was awesome. So you were the general, right, in the Book of Mormon, like when it first started, right?
General butt-fucking-naked, man.
Oh, my God. I've seen that show 4 times.
This is the original guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I did it on Broadway.
Amazing.
I love that role. That's a scene-stealing role to have.
I never saw you in it, but I'm sure nobody does it as good as you, bro. I'm sure.
Oh, come on, you guys. Who's on the payroll, man? I love it. Thank you. That means a lot. Thanks a lot. That was a great time for me. To work with Trey Parker and Matt Stone was like destiny fulfilled. I watched South Park since I was like in the 9th grade.
Yeah.
And to be in the room with these 2 guys who were so smart and so funny and so political and so... They're geniuses.
They're geniuses as well. I think you are... Well, maybe genius inspires genius, you know, so you must be kind of genius as well for these guys to be gravitating towards you and vice versa, because that's kind of how the world works, energies and stuff. You know, you're obviously doing the right thing.
I'm in love with you guys. I'm in love with you guys right now. Like, this love affair is amazing.
I'm going to give you a little tweet later. Yeah. I'm going to tweet you later on. Say what's up.
Okay. Do it, man.
I will.
What have you got in the future? Obviously, a second series coming up. Are there any other projects, anything that you want to shout out or excited about?
Yeah, changing the world. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. That's it.
Like, I really want to focus on changing the world, man. Yeah. We've got a lot going on and a lot to think about and a lot of things that we have to do to bring each other together. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to change this damn world.
Yeah.
One person at a time.
How relevant do you think shows like Atlanta are, you know, in the current state that America's are in with your new president and stuff like that?
It's so necessary. You know, when we started the show, we didn't want to feel like the show was important. we don't want to make the show on this pedestal and hold it up to this thing, to say that we're speaking this, we're trying to say this thing, we're trying to preach this thing. We just wanted to tell the stories of these people.
Yeah.
But then in it itself became a thing. It became important.
Yeah.
Because we all needed to hear these stories, and we all needed to see different sides of life. And I think that Atlanta does that. And
yeah.
We're not going to stop, man.
No, don't, man, because we're loving it. Forward. We're loving it in the UK,
good,
brother.
Good. We got you.
Thank you so much. We might be shooting a movie in Atlanta in February, so I'm gonna come check you.
Well, you better call me, dude.
No, I will, bro. I'm gonna Insta you or tweet you later on, and then I'm gonna hit you up if we're coming. But I think we are.
I think a bromance has started over the phone. This is good for what?
In fact, we might be doing a recce in a few weeks. I might holler you then.
Hey, man. I may get your name tattooed on my neck. So I'm that in love with you.
Oh, thanks, brother.
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
We are joined by the Wall of Comedy boys.
Hello.
Hey, just want to say hey again.
All right.
Yo, yo, yo.
I didn't know if that was a done though. Yo, meal.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to play a game.
Oh, boy.
This is the name of the game. Movie Trivia Time!
Yes.
Right.
Donna.
So basically, I've got a movie quiz. I'm going to ask each individual questions.
Already,
and if you get it wrong, if you get it right, then you pass. Well done, 10 points. If you get it wrong, you're going to have to try a Bean Boozled Bean, which, if anyone doesn't know what they are,
what is it?
They're jelly beans that are either a gorgeous flavour or a disgusting flavour. Why we've got the sick bucket.
That, some of them taste like dick. Was I about that?
Yeah, literally. They've got mouldy accuracy. Dick, I think, is on there, or caramel corn.
Oh, you said you can deep throw it.
What are some of the horrible flavours out of interest?
So, right, so let's have a look. So you can either, you've either got coconut or spoilt milk.
Spoilt milk.
Buttered popcorn or rotten egg. Peach or vomit.
Oh, gosh.
Juicy pear or booger. Tutti Frutti or stinky socks. Strawberry banana smoothie or dead fish. Berry blueberry or toothpaste. That's
not
too bad. Chocolate pudding, canned dog food.
Oh, gosh.
Caramel corn, moldy cheese / dick. And lime and lawn clippings.
All right.
You missed that one thing there, though, Jana. We're not going to eat them because we're going to get them all right.
Oh, my God.
So, how is it working? Is this our team and that's your team?
Should we do team and team?
Let's do team and team.
Okay,
there.
Team and team. No, because he's shit.
Right, that's
team
divided already.
Yeah, divide and conquer.
Oh, I just opened this packet and I got a woof of vomit. And I'm... Okay, let's get in there. Oh, I just realised I can't play because I made the questions up.
Yeah.
Oh, so I've got back in for the whole team.
But to make it fair, when someone takes a bean, I'm going to take a bean too.
How about we ask you a question, Bunny and Clad?
You could ask me.
How about we do that?
Okay.
We come up with a question.
That's cool.
We can improvise
so
on this.
Can
show.
We confer with each other, like, you know?
Chase clinging onto that bin. For like...
God, I've got this sick bucket to the ready.
I see the fear in your eyes, bro.
Okay, right, guys. The first round is movie quotes. So I'm going to say a movie quote.
Yes.
And if you can get it right, then you're safe. Okay, so the first question to your team is. I think we're going to need a bigger boat. What film is that from?
I think we're going to need a bigger boat. Are you going to give us, like, any voice to help us out a little bit, or is it... I think we're going to need a bigger boat.
There's a clue.
There's bare boat movies.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
there's
bare
boat
movies.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
the correct answer is Jaws. Okay.
Yes.
Question number two. I'm king of the world.
I'm king of the world.
You can't just repeat it back. We need to know what
film.
Yeah, go on. Like,
Titanic.
Oh, fuck.
You thought he was going to say Lion King or something, didn't
he? Yeah.
Tell you what. You can ask a question to him because he don't know these. So you can ask a movie question to TJ.
Come then. I'm a badass at this game.
If anyone's just joined us, we're playing my movie quiz challenge with Bean Boozled disgusting jelly beans.
Trust me. The movie gods on my side.
No, do you know what? I've got a question.
All right, go on,
yeah,
then.
Yeah,
it can't be like, what's your shoe size? Because me and you don't share a bed. And like,
all right,
make
a shoe one, yeah. All right, cool. A shoe one. What colour were the slippers in the original Wizard of Oz?
Ruby.
Red, innit? Ruby red.
Is that your third and final answer?
Wait, this is a trick question. Wait, which
the
slippers?
Original.
I'm going to repeat the question, and that's all I'm going to do.
Okay, go on.
What colour were the slippers in the original Wizard of Oz?
Come on, guys.
Ruby slippers. Come on, everybody knows this thing.
No, 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 no You mean that she originally had black shoes on?
No, I've seen that old school movie.
Now
yet.
You're just saying colours.
This ain't the remake.
In the original Wizard of Oz.
I've seen it.
Silver, guys.
How?
Silver.
Shut up! No, way.
Silver.
Right,
I didn't know.
Oh,
that.
Mate.
I want
Men's right.
I want video evidence.
Men's right. Gotta eat a sweet.
Okay.
Men's gotta eat
this
a sweet.
This is over. Oh, mate, I just know this is going to be a bad one. So this one is either...
Oh, my God, this one's not good.
Chocolate pudding or canned dog food.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. I bet you get the chocolate right. pudding.
Three, I don't leave
two, one, go. are there any nice ones in there?
I've got to get out.
Swallow it.
Oh. Yeah.
Swallow it.
I can't.
Gone.
I just had dead. I actually might buy it, guys, on my radio.
Are you sure there's any good ones in there?
What about you, man?
Oh, fuck.
Right, I'm giving you a bloody hard question now.
Go on.
And you guys are going to get it. Okay, hold on. Right. Okay.
Yeah, small.
In Hunger Games,
uh-huh.
Which district was the character Thresh from?
Thresh.
Isn't that like a condition?
No, not Thresh, guys. It's not a yeast infection, it's a character. He's called
Thresh. Yes.
What district? Come on, you got 12 districts.
Come on, 12 districts.
Yeah, but I'm saying, was that a main character?
Stop asking questions and start answering.
He was in it.
What colour was he?
What? No.
We don't get clues.
Look, start answering.
Come on, man. You got.
I feel the beans coming.
I'm going for a guess. How many were there?
12.
11.
I trust my brother.
Are you Googling underneath the table?
No, what?
Okay. Put your hands up.
11?
Okay, 11? The answer actually is...
I don't swear.
It's fucking 11. We have got Arnold Oseng.
Yo,
what's up, man? What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
Listen, I need to ask you something.
Talk to me.
How do we actually pronounce your last name?
Do you know what?
Just so people know.
It sounds Chinese, but it's not. So it's Ocheng.
Oh. It's Ocheng.
Ocheng. Oh,
you know there's an H missing, right?
I know. I need to talk to my mum about that. It's crazy, man. It's Ocheng, yeah. Bro, I'm good, man. I'm just on a cloud nine right now. Things are, as you lot know, things are going so well with the film and everything and the response.
I need to interrupt you. Listen, so you have to pretend, kind of, that I'm not me.
Okay.
So when I say, what was it like working with...
I got you.
What's happening for you right now, man? It's cloud nine business. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so I got this film called Brotherhood.
Sounds excellent.
It's amazing. My character comes back from adulthood.
Yeah, because you were in the second film as
well. Yes, I was in adulthood. With Brotherhood, people get a bigger sense of Henry. He gets to show his character a bit more.
Am I correct in saying you're also in another film that's coming out?
Yeah. I'm also in a movie called United Kingdom by Amar Asante, starring David Oyelowo and Rosamund Pike.
Jana, isn't that the woman that you speak to?
I spoke to her this week because
No way.
I know. Small world. I went to the BFI festival launch opening. Basically, I got to see all the films that are coming out. At the festival.
But watch them.
No, I got to see all the trailers.
Oh, sorry, okay.
There were so many. It took 2 hours just to sit in the theatre in Leicester Square
to
and
see,
all the trailers. But the first film, the opening film of the whole entire festival is A United Kingdom.
Fantastic.
And
awesome.
Then I got to go and interview the director of it. Wow. And I saw you. I didn't even know you were in that film. And then I looked up
and
there was your face. And I was like, there's Arnie.
And he's like, oh, what took up to you?
Yeah, because you have an accent in it.
I've got an accent in that
do
one, yeah.
Do the accent, bro.
You know, I can't do the accent now. We are doing interviews. You cannot ask me to do these things now.
I love it.
It's a period drama set in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a love story between David Oyelowo and Rosamund Pike. It's a true story about Soretse Khama, who is heir to the throne in Congo, but then he's sent to England, Oxford University, mm-hmm. to study and get prepared to, you know, become king. But then he falls in love with Rosamund Pike.
I love this, and I love you. And I think something very important here that people might have missed. There's black people in this film, and you said it's in the 1940s.
Yeah.
A lot of you young actors out there, especially the black ones, to know that we were about...
We've been about. Don't feel like anything previous to 1975, you can't get roles, man.
You know, get it.
Yeah. Let's hope that people are opening their minds and making films like this where you can prove that we were here. And at Oxford University, darling.
And that's the good thing with Amma, because Amma loves to tell stories, you know, black stories of our culture that haven't been told before. Mm-hmm. The good thing with the United Kingdom is when David's character gets sent to Oxford University to study, it was sort of a time where like it was like a rat pack of educated black, very intelligent men all in Oxford University. Like the character that I play, his name's Charles Njonjo, Kenyan, but he later on, after obviously Oxford University, he became the Attorney General.
The trailer looked amazing, and it's a true story,
man.
And it still can kind of resonate today, you know, sort of interracial
couples
and the struggles they face.
Definitely.
You know about that, don't you, John?
I do. Well, I have it from the other way around, because my mom is desperate for me to have a black boyfriend.
No way.
She literally.
Your mom's listening now as well, isn't
it? I'll give mom a piece,
mom,
man.
Listen. I was going to say something. Nah, mom.
But, Mumsy, like, seriously, you don't have to fight it any longer.
You don't have to fight it.
You don't have to fight it anymore.
The dark meat is righteous. See, look, she's smiling there. She knows. Oh,
yeah, she knows. That's Natalie outside. She's one of our producers. She knows. You know about black don't crack, innit, baby?
You know about the dark meat.
She's nodding.
But many people today do have, you know, parents maybe would still have really old school prejudices. So this film, I think, is going to be. I'm so excited for this one.
It highlights
great.
It, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You've kind of had a big surge in the last couple of years in your career. How have you found it? How have you adapted to suddenly being able to afford things and getting things for free?
Do you know what?
You know what I mean? You work all your life to afford it, and then they give it to you.
And then you give it to you for free, yeah.
What's the coolest freebie you've ever got?
You know, I'm going to say something, but it's going to sound dumb. A kettle.
A kettle?
That does sound dumb, bro.
It does sound dumb, but I mean, hear me out. Do you know where I got the kettle from?
No.
Toronto.
All right.
You know the gift and sweet?
Yeah.
Tell me it
makes you pancakes with maple syrup in the morning, and I'll like the kettle a bit more.
No, I don't get my pancakes, but you know, tea is on point, bro. I'm telling you.
You're so British.
I'm too British, man.
You got some free segues, and I remember the only time I've ever tried one was on the Brotherhood set, and we were just like going up and down the costume
hall. Oh, did I bring it?
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
So bear in mind,
you had two of them running around, and we were all having a go on them.
Yeah. Something the director was very. I hear he's a lovely man.
Yeah.
But I don't think
he was too chuffed about you guys running around on a Segway in case anybody fell down and got.
To be honest, the director, God bless his heart and everything, but I think, you know, he just doesn't have the balance to be on those sort of things, you know. So yeah.
Is he too old? Maybe?
He's maybe too old for that.
I feel like he stepped on it and he broke his tailbone.
He nearly did. But let's not name names on who it was. Let's not name names.
I've heard he's a wonderful man, though.
No, he's cool.
Oh, man.
Rhymes with Schmoll Schmark, I think.
Schmoll Schmark.
Yeah, the director.
You could have said rhymes with Noah's Ark.
That would have been
or tree
maybe
bark.
That's a sign. I should start building a boat or something.
Noah's Ark, tree bark.
Yeah, tree bark. All right, so what?
Johanna fart. Sorry.
Go. Mate, you were so good at this.
Aruba Shuttop.
Say nothing. We got Stormzy for that one.
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
We are joined in the studio by actor Tom Meaton and the executive producer of the film, Dheeraj Mahay.
That's right.
Woohoo! Okay, for people who are listening who haven't come across The Ghoul so far, can we just give everybody a rundown of a synopsis of what
the name
about?
Is a little bit misleading.
It is a little.
You know, some people might be like, goblins and stuff like that.
I know, yeah. I assumed it was like a horror.
Yeah. I guess the insinuation is that it seems like it might be a full on horror,
exactly.
But it's more of a mental horror. Mm. I play a lead in it called Chris, who ostensibly starts out as a detective, but things, including his own mind, unravel. And it becomes more about a mental horror, like he's been manipulated by people and he's basically in the process of a breakdown. And the film itself unravels as his own mind unravels, if you like. We actually shot it 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
So we've taken a little while to...
A while back.
We're quite low budget, don't mind admitting.
Small film. It's a very small film, so it's taken a while.
I've been there. I know about that stuff, and I feel like what we do on the show sometimes is we want to school these people and the audience that want to get into the business about the process. So Kid Arnold, for example, was made in 2004. And didn't come out until 2006, so very similar journey to you guys' film. So just explain the process. Tell us exactly what happened in that process quickly.
As I said, we were low budget. We actually shot the film a couple of years ago in 10 days. Mm. Most of the dialogue heavy scene. Very quickly.
That's
very
amazing.
Rare. For people that don't know, that's kind of you know, almost unheard of. We had a few days of sort of pickups of following me around the streets, around Hackney and places like that, wandering around, but that was a small setup. And then because we were low budget, we had to drive a lot of this stuff ourselves, and a lot of favours and help from people, which is why it took longer. A lot of films with a bit more money can just sort of pay for these and push these things through.
Underdogs.
Yeah, exactly. Fight in the fight. Because as you know, if you're working with a low budget, everyone has to put more effort in.
Tom, as an actor, so when you're playing a part like that, where you do have to kind of have, without giving too much away and not necessarily literally dual realities and all that sort of stuff, what's your process when you're doing that?
I have usually done quite a lot of comedy in my career, so this is sort of the first serious role I've been sort of titting about on stage for many years, getting my balls out and all sorts of things.
Well, feel free, you can get them out here, you know. Feel
free. It's a free show.
This is our show's You've got a webcam though, right?
Yeah. Hey, stage, webcam, 10,000 people, a million people. Hey, you know.
I mean, it was an amazing opportunity for me to do a serious show.
Sure. Serious chops.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. That sort of dual reality is just sort of, I mean, to be a lead in a film and almost a play, two separate characters, is sort of, you know, unheard of in a way. So
just for the people that listen, when you make a film like this, obviously you have the process now, you've waited 2 years, but have you guys yet got your distribution?
So we're in the process. The honest answer is no. Basically, we're still in discussions. So I think for us, we're really proud of the film and we think it will definitely get picked up and have a life, but we're not worried about it being a commercial film so much. I think for us, it's just finding people who get the same vision that we had
should,
for the
we should
film
talk after. I know some people.
Okay.
We'll talk after.
Now we're talking.
Business meeting going on
deals.
Right now.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.